Okay, good morning. So this Inyanei Nachshir, this shir in particular is going to be in three parts because we are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every week we're going to do a new topic. The topic is going to be Inyanei Deyoma in Nach. We're going to take one section and really try to take a look at it, hopefully gain some basic bits of Bekiyas in Nach. In general, it's very important to learn Nach. It is very important. Obviously, there are other things that are, you know, more critical in a sense, like learning halacha, so you know what to do and know how to do mitzvahs properly. But Nach is something I think that is a little bit overlooked. The assumption is that people are doing it on their own, but very often they're not. So just to get a little bit of a kiss, really, the first place you can even start, I heard from Rebelsky, he said that, you know, at least the starting point should be a haftarah. At least learn the haftarah that's going on. And then after you've done a year, a cycle of haftaras, then maybe you can start actually opening up a navi and learning it. So we're going to be doing Inyanei Deyoma because really it's going to help us when our avoda. We had actually three choices of what we could have done today. We could have done Eicha, right? The 3 weeks is starting very soon, right? Tomorrow. We hope it's Hashem. It's going to be three weeks of Simcha and Yom Tov. That will hopefully be the case. With that in mind, we're not going to do Eicha yet, and we're not even going to choose the real haftarah of this week's parsha. It's complicated. This week's haftarah could have been two different haftaros. So there's a haftarah for Parshas Pinchas, which we're going to do today. And then what we're actually going to be reading, the actual haftarah, not for Parshas Pinchas, but that we're going to read this Shabbos, is really, it's one of the haftaros of Peronos, of retribution. It's a little bit of a sadder haftarah, getting ready for Tisha B'Av. So that haftarah is read, the haftarah of Parshas Pinchas is actually relatively rare. We only read it when Shabbos Pinchas falls before the 3 weeks, which is not the case this year. This year, the 3 weeks are starting before Pinchas. So we're going to do the Haftarah of Pinchas. It's an exciting story. There's a lot to learn. And the reason it's still relevant, even though we're not reading it this Shabbos, is that the Haftarah was chosen for a reason, right? The fact that we have Haftarah of Pinchas, it's chosen for a reason. Chazal, at whichever point they decided, right, it's probably after times of the Gemara, though it could be that this is the one they used in the times of the Gemara. Chazal chose this Haftarah because they felt that this encapsulates the Parsha. Right? This is the Haftarah, this is the section of Navi that is very closely associated with Pinchas. So there's a lot to gain. If you want to understand Parshas Pinchas properly, there's one prism through which you could see Parshas Pinchas, which is critical, through this Haftarah. So we're going to take a look at this, it's in the middle of a very interesting story. Does everybody have Kumashim? Anybody going on? Okay. So let's take a look. So as we said, we're going to do it in three parts. So today we're going to try to take a look mostly at the text, right? Whenever you do a even somewhat serious limud in anything in Tanakh, you need to be familiar with the text. Right, so the assumption, you hear a parsha shir a lot, so the assumption is you're doing Shnai Mikra, you've learned the parsha, you've heard it in shul, so you've been through it a bunch of times. So you can often start a parsha shir just by jumping right to it. Anyway, I like to, it depends on the length of the shir, I like to, take a look at the text there as well. But when it comes to Navi, very often we might have heard it. Oh, right, I remember that. That's from the Gemara somewhere, right? And that's really the extent. Like, oh, of course, yeah. Yeravam, he's quoted in Rashi, Parshas Vayechi. Okay, yeah. But he's also a character in Navi and a person in history. So especially when it comes to Haftarah and learning Nach, so we have to take a look at it. So today we're going to take a look at the text. And then if we have questions on the text, we'll ask them, and then we'll try to address the text more in more Iyun tomorrow. And then the next day, Friday, we'll try to figure out its role in teaching us about Parshas Pinchas itself. Okay, so this is taken from the end. It's in Melachim Aleph. It's the very end of Parak Yud Ches, leading into Yates. So we'll take a look at the first pasuk. V'yad Hashem Hayesha Eliyahu V'yishaneis Masnav V'yaretzot Ne'achav Ad Bo'acha Yisraela. So the hand of Hashem was on Eliyahu. He girded his loins and he gets up and he runs after Achav. So that's in the middle, not really in the middle, it's the end of a story. What just happened? What just happened in this? Does anybody know? Okay. So what just happened, actually a very, very famous story, showdown at Har Carmel. Has anybody heard of the showdown of Har Carmel? Right, so that's a very famous story, also Haftarah, Parshas Kisisa, though we also don't do it every year. Parshios and different things that overlap. But it that itself is a, right? Of course. Avera Lishma, right? When it's a sugya. So we might know it. So that's a very famous story. The essentially what happens is after a few years of a drought, Eliyahu declares a drought. Achav, the very evil, idolatrous king of Israel, and his even more evil wife, Jezebel. This is, if you've ever heard the term, like a Jezebel. Jezebel is like just a word for like an evil woman, an evil wife who just ruins everything. So maybe Zohar not to find that, right? So, or be that. So that comes from right, the Jezebel. That's a Jezebel. She was a horrible, horrible influence, and we'll even see, or at the end of that Haftarah, you'll see her role in stopping Achav from accomplishing anything, in positive in Avodas Hashem. So basically, Eliyahu has this big showdown. He calls out the Nevi'e Baal, the Nevi'e Asherah, different idolatrous priests, and says, "That's it. It's you and me, and you, and all of you." And he challenges about 900 different prophets. They all gather to Har Carmel, big mountain. Eliyahu builds a bama, which is something that's forbidden, a private altar, private mizbeach, not associated with the base of Mikdash. In general, it's usher. This is a big sugya of doing an avera lishma and horas shah, making a suspending halacha temporarily for emergency as an emergency measure. And so the showdown is going to be whose carbon is Hashem going to accept? Is he going to accept Eliyahu's karban, or one of the Nevi'im of the Baal or Asherah? And who wins? Look at these Nachbakim. Right. So Eliyahu Navi, Baruch Hashem, fire miraculously comes down. Then they had this mass slaughter of about 900 priests of these various, idols. And it's a big celebration because Hashem had revealed himself. And everyone declares, Hashem, who? Elokim, Hashem, who Elokim. That's sourced there, right? Not just sourced in the Yom Kippur Tefillah, like that's where it's from. Hashem, who Elokim. Great, inspiring, incredible event. And at this point, Achav runs home to tell Jezebel what happened. And this is where it picks up. So Eliyahu like runs after him, accompanies him, shows cover to the Malchus. So now let's take a look. So it says it's a little bit of a long one, so we're not going to be able to do all of it now. But something we're always going to keep in mind. But actually, I think we'll keep in mind after. It's for the back in the back burner right now. Why is this chosen for the Haftarah? But you shouldn't let that motivate you the first time you're reading it, because you have to understand the story for what it is. Meaning, before this story over here was the Haftarah for Pinchas, it was a piece of first of all history, but then incorporated into Nach, and only later chosen to be the Haftarah. So we have to understand it for its inherent value, not connected to Pinchas, and then through that we'll try to understand why it was chosen for Pinchas. Also, if you have any questions on anything in the text, we might not answer them now, but it's sometimes good to bring out a bunch of questions, because what I've found is the more questions you ask, they usually all point into the same one answer. Then if you get one answer, it like unravels everything and answers all the questions. So it's good to think of questions and do a close text analysis. So Achav tells Jezebel everything. Hi, honey. How was your day? Oh, you would not believe what happened, right? And he slaughtered this mass slaughter. So Jezebel sends a malach, messenger, to Eliyahu, right? Ko yasun elokim v'cho yosifun ki ka'es machar asim es nashecha kinefesh achad mehem. He says, this is what's going to happen. You are going to be like them. Meaning, I'm going to kill you, right? She sends this message, she sends a WhatsApp, Eliyahu gets it, checks it, Izebel says she's going to kill me. Tomorrow, she's going to get me. What happened to all the Nevi'im? The false Nevi'im? That's going to happen to me now. What happens? Vayar, vayakam, vayelech el nafsho, vayavo be'er sheva asher Yehuda. So he saw, Eliyahu saw, meaning he perceived, he realized what the situation was. He got up, and he went to Be'er Sheva, vayanach es na'aro sham. And he had a nar there, he left him there. V'hu halach b'midbar. Then he went further by himself. Derech yom v'yovo v'yeshes tachas rosem echod v'yishalas nafsholamus. He sat under a tree and he asked that Hashem should kill him. V'yomer ravata Hashem, kach nafshi ki lo tov anochi me'avosai. Says Hashem, I want to die. Right? You hear this, right? He's not committing suicide himself, but he goes out, he leaves his nar there, he goes into the desert, and he says, Hashem, I don't want to live anymore. Do you have any questions so far? Yeah? Yeah? Why? All right, this is a good question. Right, you want to elaborate? What's why?
Why are you scared of the
devil? Okay. So, the, yeah?
Yeah, why do you run away if you want to die anyway?
Who is scared of running away?
Okay, also.
Okay. Sense why he wants what's going on, man. What's going on around him is that people are afraid have turned their way against Hashem and then down, like dotting
time. Well, right, but something just happened. Something big just happened. Wait, one second. So just to organize some of these questions, because they're critical and they're obvious. Right? What is going on here? Right? Eliyahu just had the most amazing, impressive showdown. Right? How many people say, if Hashem would just reveal himself to me, I would be frum in a second. We had that. Right? Hashem doesn't do that every day. But Hashem did that. Right? Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. This is the real deal. 900 prophets that people had been listening to up until this point were all taken and slaughtered. And now Izebel says, oh yeah, well, I'm going to kill you. And Eliyahu says, you're going to kill me. He runs. He's so sad. He leaves his nar. He goes far into the desert. Says, Hashem, take my life now. What's going on? First of all, if he's nervous about his life, so then why is he... I mean, I guess it's scarier to be killed than for Hashem to take you. But like, you know, it seems a very... not just extreme, also extreme, but... unnecessary. Things seem to have been fine. They were looking up. Is that addressed everything? Or? Okay. So that's so far. So Eliyahu, it looks to us as we're reading it, it seems a little bit dramatic. What?
Maybe he didn't know. He thought maybe Israel could kill him, and that would take away all the belief that he had just garnered.
Okay. Right. So that's going to be part of it. Right, that's what Benji just said, is that after everything, Izebel says that. But did she really have the power to do that? Was something going to change? So we'll see. Also, you're going to see here, you're going to recognize some of these phrases that are going to be parallels to other stories in Tanakh. So you'll see if you can notice them. Sorry? Which one?
The story where Hashem where basically Israel was subjugated by their neighbors 100 years old, it was Amalek and by.
Oh yeah, so throughout Shoftim there are a few like spurts of inspiration and great miracles that have Klal returned to Hashem. But by Malachim, we don't have it so much. There are kings who do tshuva movements.
Did a lot of tests for Hashem, very much mirror.
Could be. So anyway, the pasuk continues. Vayishka vayishan tachas rosem echad. V'hinei ze malach nogea bo. A malach touches Eliyahu. Vayomer lo kum echol. He says, get up, eat. Vayabet, right? He's not eating. Eliyahu's not eating. It sounds like some sort of depression. Vayabet v'hinei mirash osav ugas utsafim v'tzapachas mayim. Bring some food, some drink for him. Vayocha vayisht vayosha vayishkab. Right? So he eats, he drinks, and then he lies down again. Vayoshav malach Hashem shenis vayigabo. The malach, right? You know, he like pressed snooze, and then the malach comes back a second time. Vayigabo wakes him up. Yo, 5 more minutes. No, vayomer kum echol. He says, get up, eat. Ki rav mimcha hadarech. You have a long way to go. Where's he going? You have a long way to go. Vayakam vayochav vayishte. He gets up. He eats. He drinks. Vayelech bekoach haachila. Ahi arbayim yom varbayim laila adhara elokim choreb. He gets up and he goes for 40 days and 40 nights to har elokim choreb. So I know it sounds. What is har elokim har choreb? Har Sinai, right? We haven't seen Har Sinai in a long time, right? It's interesting to me. Like the last time we saw Har Sinai, I think, was when we were there getting the Torah. We kind of like left it there, but. But here's the big return. I think so. They're like there are five, the Midrash Rabbah, Midrash Tanchuma speaks about like five or six names. The Gemara as well for. Okay, right. So this is interesting because we're actually returning to this place, to Har Sinai, and. Some of you probably already started seeing some of the parallels here, but we'll continue. Vayavo sham el ha-ma'ara vayalan sham. So he comes to a cave, and he sleeps there. V'hinei dvar Hashem elav vayomer lo malacha po Eliyahu. And Hashem comes to him, Hashem says, malacha po. What does that mean? Malacha po. What are you doing here? Eliyahu, why are you here? Vayomer Eliyahu responds, and this is going to be important. All of it's important. Kano kinesi la Hashem. What does that mean? Kano kinesi la Hashem. Right? I was a kanoi. I was a zealot. I was zealous on Hashem's behalf. Hashem elokei tzvakos. Ki azvu brischa. Because they have forsaken your bris. B'nei Yisrael, right? B'nei Yisrael have forsaken the bris. As mitzvachosecha harasu v'snevi'echa horgu b'chorev. Right, they destroyed your mizbeach. They killed your neviim with the sword. Vivaser ani levadi vayivakshu es nafshi lekachta. And I alone am left. And Hashem, take my soul. And now we're going to see something very big. We're going to have to save this next part for tomorrow. But so far, just to recap what we've seen so far, because it could be this is our first time seeing this story. Eliyahu HaNavi, right after Har Carmel, he gets a death threat from Izebel. He runs far into the desert, asks Hashem to kill him. He falls asleep. A malach wakes him up, gives him food and drink. He falls asleep again. Malach wakes him up again, says, go on this journey, 40 days, 40 nights. He gets to Har Sinai, our big return to Har Sinai. Hashem says, Eliyahu HaNavi, what are you doing here? Implying that what? Should be somewhere else. Where is that? So we'll discuss that tomorrow. Malachop, what are you doing here? And he responds, he doesn't say what I'm doing here. He says, I have been a zealot. I have come and fought for your honor, and now I want you to kill me. We'll have to end on that cliffhanger, or the mountain hanger, or cave hanger, whatever it is. And Ritz Hashem will wrap up the story inside tomorrow. Try to answer some of our questions, and then on Friday we'll tie it together with Parshas Pinchas. Yeshakach.